You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Crazy comebacks rule on Monday night. And if you're just waking up on your Tuesday, well, first of all, good morning. Second of all, we've been waiting for you. You missed a lot, but it's all right. That's where we come in. I just put this on Twitter because as a adjunct professor at Syracuse University, which is where I am this month of April, it just dawns on me. And I said this to my students a lot of times when you've got storylines that are so compelling and so dramatic and so entertaining, you don't have to come up with, you know, some way to dress them up. You don't have to present them in some crazy creative way. Just let the games or let the topics, let the stories take you, you know, on this journey of sports radio. And this is one of those shows, which is perfect timing, one of those shows where the script, and I'm using my air quotations, I don't have a script, although people do ask me that, one of those shows where the script writes itself. As a host, you have to try really freaking hard to mess up a show after a night full of crazy comebacks, which is what we got on Monday. It was a manic Monday, to be sure. And I know maybe a lot of the talk earlier on Monday was about the NFL draft that's now just days away. And then the Zach Wilson trade finally leaving the New York City area and heading to Denver, which is his own just kind of strange drama in their quarterback room. I honestly thought that would be a vast majority of the show, or at least one of the top stories. And then Matt Ryan officially retiring as a Falcon and how that resonates with so many people. And Arthur Blank saying that he thinks that Matt will be a Hall of Famer. I say maybe, I'm not sure about that. But then along come these three games on Monday night that captivate us. And with my apologies to Orlando-Cleveland, it was not nearly as compelling, though, you know, the Cavaliers get the victory, which is big for them. And it was actually a 30-point spread at some point in this game, turns into a 10-point final. So good for the Cavaliers. And yeah, there were other games. Good for Austin Matthews and the Maple Leafs. He gets his 70th goal of this season, though it won't count, obviously, for the record, but he gets his 70th goal and it comes in a go-ahead fashion midway through the third period of their game against the Bruins, in which they're tied. And if you missed my story about the guy on the other side of the hotel wall, so we're sitting back-to-back clearly and I'm hearing him react in real time, and it took me a minute to figure out what in the heck was going on over there. But yeah, with my apologies to the Maple Leafs, it wasn't quite as dramatic, though it was huge for Toronto and huge for Austin Matthews for them to be able to steal this one in Boston and against a team in which they've got such great history. But the three crazy comebacks, the trio of crazy comebacks, man, they are next level. So we're asking you, even as we go through them, those of you who know what I'm talking about, rank these crazy comebacks from Monday. Are you going Nuggets? Are you going Hurricanes? Are you going Knicks? and they all have a very different flavor to them, which I love. None of these three comebacks is the same. You've got opposite ends of the spectrum with the two basketball games, and then somewhere in the middle, you've got actually both components with the shock value of the Canes, but it was also a slow burn. And I will explain, because the Lakers, their collapse and the Nuggets' comeback was a slow burn. It played out over the course of two quarters, the second half. And yet, we get the exclamation point and the moment that you'll want to watch over and over again, or that you'll want to listen to over and over again, courtesy of Jamal Murray. Then you've got the opposite with the Knicks, where theirs is so quick and so dramatic that it's stunning just in and of itself. Eight straight points in the NBA is no big deal, but where it's happening late in the game, 30 seconds left, where they're snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. So two very different comebacks in the NBA, and yet in their own ways, so dramatic and delicious. And then this Canes victory, coming back against the Islanders, that has both of those elements, right? It's got the shock value of two goals in 9 seconds, but it also was much more of a slow burn, where you can imagine Islanders fans can feel that dread and can feel it building, can feel it coming. Sometimes you just know with your team, oh no. Dallas Cowboys fans, you ever felt yourself in that position? Oh no. I could name a bunch of other franchises. That's just one that happens to pop into my mind. So why don't we start with Nuggets, Lakers, because these are the defending champions, and the Lakers had to feel like they had them exactly where they wanted them. This is what we have to do to beat the defending champs finally for the first time in 10 tries.
Denver basketball, shot clock is turned off. 18.2 seconds left to go in the third quarter. Denver with a bucket gets it down to single digits. Joker back over to Jamal, turns the corner. Back over to Joker to Nail, guarded by Anthony Davis. He puts it on the floor, spin move in the paint, jump shot up and in. Nuggets within 4, 91-87. Jokic has it inside the arc, guarded by Anthony Davis. Starts backing him down, spins baseline, head fake, layup, got it, and foul! Let's go! Nuggets down by 2, Joker can make it 1. That's the 5th foul on Anthony Davis.
So this is what I mean. It was a slower burn for the Nuggets. They make one big adjustment at halftime, and we'll give you the details on that coming up here momentarily. But one major adjustment that left the Lakers in the lurch. They were lost a bunch in the second half, and because they really only had 3 offensive options, seemed to me that they ran out of gas too. They're expending so much energy. You've only got 3 guys who are giving you much pop on the offensive end, but you're also having to deal with the load that the Denver Nuggets bring when it comes to rebounding, right? They're so physical, and they've got obviously bigs and real athletic bigs who can rebound. And so they're dealing with a disparity when it comes to rebounding. Maybe they're not turning the ball over as much, but the Nuggets are deeper. And so when they make the Lakers a little more one-dimensional, or in this case two-dimensional, that it becomes easier for them to rally. So they're reeling the Lakers in, they're reeling them in, and they get to the point now where it's late in the game and they do manage to tie it. And so for them to come back from 20 points down, they had more time to do it. So maybe it wasn't quite that crazy sense of urgency that you get with the Knicks. But they're still down 10 to start the fourth quarter, and they still need almost all that fourth quarter just to tie it at 95. So they do that with the minute and 15 seconds left. And then the last sequence, and it's not like the Nuggets ran away with it at this point. This last minute and 15 seconds, it's pretty impressive to see. And it's like the Lakers have to wonder, what the hell do we have to do to beat this team, right? They've got the 20-point lead. That evaporates. So then it becomes a fight in this final minute and 15 seconds. But every single time the Lakers get the nose in front or get the step ahead, the Nuggets are able to match them. And it's just perfect that it's Jamal Murray, because he had another really tough game. He had 6 points going into the fourth quarter. 6 points, right? So Michael Porter Jr. hits the triple, ties them at 95. But then D'Angelo Russell drives to the hoop, makes a layup, puts the Lakers back in front, only to have then Jamal Murray hit a couple of free throws and tie the game again. Then LeBron drives to the hoop. He scores with 47 seconds to go, so they're up two again, only to have Jamal Murray make a step-back jumper and tie the game at 99. And that was just the first of the step-back jumpers for Jamal Murray. So a bit of redemption and vindication. And this final sequence on the Nuggets radio, with the Nuggets radio network with Jason Kosmicki, it's pretty incredible contrast with the way that the John Ireland calls it on the Lakers radio network, as you can imagine. But Kosmicki is losing his mind in these last 30 seconds.
A stop here, you win the game. Three-pointer LeBron, missed it, rebound Porter, there's the stop, over to Jamal Murray, they have to foul! He's at the midcourt circle, 4 seconds, 3 seconds left, why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray, got it at the horn! Denver mounts the comeback, they come back from 20 points down, they win game number two! 101 to 99 is the final, and the Lakers can take that L on the way out.
That's the Denver Nuggets version of the call, and Kosmicki's screaming, right? He's losing his mind. Why aren't they foul? Why don't they foul? Which I guess is a different question. Anyway, I prefer, and it's not a knock on Kosmicki, he does a great job, but I prefer the Lakers call because there's more space and you can hear these iconic sounds that we love as sports fans. So, Jay, if you want to rack the Lakers call with John Ireland, same sequence, right? But what you hear in the arena is so much more pronounced and dramatic.
Shot clock and the game clock are 5 seconds apart. So the Lakers are going to run some clock here. LeBron driving. Three-pointer for LeBron, no good, and here come the Nuggets with a chance to win it, no timeout. 10 seconds remaining, game tied at 99. Jamal Murray's got it, 5 seconds left. Murray dribbles right, 3-2, Murray for the win. Good, Nuggets win it.
Yeah, and it goes on. The noise, the natural sound, as we call it in the business, it plays out and it goes on. Because what is John Ireland going to say? It's stunning for the Lakers. It's stunning, really, for anyone associated with the franchise. But it's also stunning for fans. Not so much the comeback, but in that moment, Anthony Davis is stretched out. He's got the long arm of the law over the top of Jamal Murray. And Jamal has to, not only does he have to step back, but he has to get some air so that he can get that ball over the top of Davis's outstretched fingers. Then, as he releases the ball, you hear the buzzer sound, right? So he gets it away in time. The replay confirmed it, but I'm not sure there was any question for real. So it's ball gets released, buzzer sounds, ball goes through the hoop, crowd goes wild. I mean, that's classic. It's such a classic moment and a sequence of events. And then, as it plays out, because Jamal has, you know, he's fallen backward to release this shot and to get the elevation, then he ends up on his rear end. He kind of skids off the corner of the court right into the Nuggets bench. Well, that's also where Anthony Davis ends up. His momentum, trying to get to that ball, he is also forward into the Nuggets bench. And I got to tell you, this is really not about the comeback, but the face of Anthony Davis as he gets trucked by the Nuggets players who rush off the bench and into the corner to lift up Murray and to just surround him and go nutso with their teammate. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis becomes an afterthought. He gets shoved into the bench. They run over him. There are some still photos of his face. Oh, heavens. He got smushed, and it's hard to smush a 7-footer, but you're going to have to check it out on our show Twitter at Amy After Hours. That's also where we want you to weigh in. How would you rank this comeback versus, say, the Knicks and the Canes, which we will get to? But yeah, that Jamal Murray buzzer beater, it's one of those moments that maybe causes you to fall in love with sports as a fan because it's so dramatic and it's so perfect. And for Jamal Murray to only have 6 points coming into the fourth quarter, to have another night in which he does not shoot well, and yet that game Well, the ball goes through the hoop, and that game, that fourth quarter, that comeback provides exactly what he needs as an individual athlete, but also the Nuggets. It just solidifies their dominance over the Lakers. That's 10 straight victories against the Los Angeles Lakers, and it's also, for the Nuggets, just a kind of an opportunity for them to flex their muscles as defending champions. No matter what you do, you're not going to beat us. That's kind of the message. And from the Lakers' perspective, what the hell do we have to do to be able to beat the Nuggets? But what a moment for Jamal.
Yolk was kind of looming, waiting for me to make a decision. And then I just, you know, faked like I was going to shoot a three or do a step back or something. And then AD kind of pressed up a little bit. I just got to my spot, beat him to the spot, and I was able to elevate and make it. I jumped pretty high. I faded a lot, and I just lost my balance and fell. And I just saw the ball over the rim. I think AD was in my way, or somebody was in my way. And I just heard everybody scream, and that's how I know it went in. So it was a pretty cool moment.
For those that have been following us for a long time, that's Jamal Murray right there. I mean, he can struggle. He sees one go in, and he is he's never shying away from the moment, the spotlight, and that was just an incredible play. Jamal is a guy that it doesn't take much for him. You know, he knows that this entire team, staff, players, whatever you want to call it, have his back, but he's a confident young man, and making a shot like that is only going to help him in that regard, but I'll be honest, I don't think he needs much help.
They came down, and they wanted to get their two best players into action, which they did, and, you know, Jamal Murray hit a tough shot. You know, AD fading away the baseline to his right. AD outstretched arm, great contest. Kid hit a tough shot.
You hear Darvin Ham, and before that, Mike Malone, so their perspective as individual coaches. And LeBron James, what you're going to hear from him on Tuesday is his mini tirade about the officiating and the fact that he felt like replay review failed the Lakers, that there was a moment where D'Angelo Russell got fouled, should have had free throws or free throw, and that maybe is a turning point for them in the late stages. I understand he's frustrated, but the officials aren't the reason that you coughed up a 20-point lead in the second half, and the officials aren't the reason that Jamal Murray hit a buzzer beater. And credit AD. I mean, he guarded and defended that as he was the best guy to be able to do it. Jamal had to do everything possible just to get away from him and create space. But this one's demoralizing for the Lakers for a different reason, because they had it right there and couldn't capitalize.
We know they're going to get into a rhythm at some point. We know they're going to make runs, especially on their home floor. Just have to withstand them. And, you know, I think we did. Obviously, we gave up a 20-point lead, and, you know, that's unfortunate. But 20-point leads in this league is not, it's not safe, especially against a defending champion. We got to do better with that. But we got our chances.
So LeBron James said it was painful. I mean, that's how he started his comments following this one, and it certainly is. We had a chance to catch up with Trevor Lane, who has the Lakers Nation show, a really popular show, and he was reacting in the moment after the fact. And, you know, the comments from LeBron about replay and about how it failed and what's the point of having it. I mean, he drops in a couple of choice words, but I asked Trevor to react to what we heard from LeBron postgame.
LeBron is absolutely right, and this is not the first time. This is something we've been talking about all season. This is not a Lakers-specific thing. This is not it's not even about this game tonight. We've seen plays go to replay all season long, obvious calls, and still, with the benefit of replay, seeing it rewound over and over from different angles and still have the officials come back with what is obviously an incorrect decision. That can't happen. There's no reason to stop a game if you're not going to get the call right when you've got the benefit of instant replay. So it's something that needs to be addressed. Some of it, I think, comes down to the rules of replay and what you can look at and what you can't. It creates situations where you can see something happen specifically. You see a player that steps out of bounds or something, but that's not the part of the play that you happen to be reviewing, and then you have to ignore part of what you're seeing in the replay and only focus on another part of it. It creates situations where the fans at home are watching, they're seeing a clear mistake being made, and it's not being addressed. It's something that has to get fixed this summer. And if it's not going to get fixed, then just get rid of the replay system, in my opinion, because there's no reason to stop the game unless you're going to get the correct decision.
I agree with that. I'm still go back and forth. Not sure I love reviewing calls like that where it can be objective. Certainly a battle that other leagues have tackled. So that aside, we hear from LeBron after. It's not why they coughed up a 20-point lead. So, Trevor, what changed in the second half for the Lakers?
Yeah, so there were a lot of things that took place in this one. One of it was you saw the Nuggets make a shift with Aaron Gordon covering Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was having his way with Nikola Jokic, attacking him and getting some scoring opportunities. The Nuggets made an adjustment, and then the Lakers really struggled to adapt to that. We saw them, Anthony Davis talked about after the game, said we only scored 40 points in the second half total. That was a big part of the reason why the Nuggets came back. The Lakers' offense just ground to a halt. And when you're taking bad shots, missing shots, that fuels your opponent's offense because that gets them running in transition, gets them cross matches and things like that. And so that was a big part of the Lakers kind of collapsing and blowing this lead. They also really went away from their play calling, which has been a major talking point across Lakers Nation. They keep doing this in games where they're calling plays and things are going well and they're running stuff and they start to freelance and they'll go through long stretches. They went through 4 or 5 minutes tonight where they didn't score, and a lot of that was not calling any plays, just freelancing and trying to wing it, and it does not work, and it often leads to situations like this. So all of that kind of combined to create this perfect storm that ended up being a disaster of a night from a Lakers perspective.
Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation, and I advise you, that sounded weird. I would encourage you, much better, to go and listen to the rest of the conversation with Trevor, because I asked him, what do the Lakers have to do to beat the Nuggets? But also, there were some pointed comments from Anthony Davis after this game about the offense and about how they were lost at times in the second half. I mean, that's a pretty strong indictment of what's happening, not just on their bench, but with the coaching staff. And maybe he'll clarify, maybe he won't. But the Nuggets make adjustments. The Lakers don't. That 20-point lead disappears in a slow burn, and then Jamal Murray with that moment that you'll hear and see over and over again is really just the capper. So it's part of our podcast, that conversation with Trevor, who is covering the Lakers extensively and takes us kind of in the weeds as some of the Lakers issues as they lose a 10th straight game to the defending champion Denver Nuggets. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, rank the...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
These crazy comebacks from your manic Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Back
back to Tyrese. He turns the corner. He hangs. Fires. It's good. Maxey delivers from the right wing. A 16-footer on the move. And Maxey gives the Sixers the lead. Maxey still dribbling to Joel. He turns the corner. Three to shoot. He goes back to Tyrese. Three-pointer in the air. It's good. Maxey with the biggest shot of the playoffs for the Sixers. He nailed it. And Maxey has made it a four-point game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tyrese Maxey missed shoot-around on Monday morning because he was not feeling well. He was ill. In fact, after the game, and this is, of course, after the fact, he talked about how he was feeling and how this was really challenging for him. And yet, you wouldn't know it by the way that he played. Once again, a superstar for these Philadelphia 76ers, who didn't ever build a lead where they could feel comfortable. It's really not that kind of a series between Sixers and Knicks, but for the most part in this game, had the lead. Now, the Knicks looked better in the second half. They stopped turning the ball over, but Jalen Brunson did not play well yet again in this game, really didn't shoot well again in this game. So there's some parallel there between what we got from Jalen Brunson, the star point guard for the Knicks, and what we got from Jamal Murray, the star point guard for the Denver Nuggets. Different kind of redemption in the end, but man, it had to feel good. So Tyrese Maxey with his 35 points, he has the Sixers poised to take game two. All right, so he puts them up 97-96 with a pull-up jumper about 2.5 minutes to go, and then no scoring until his three with just over a minute left, and they're up 100-96. So as they're making their way, and this was a game that was really physical, which I appreciate. I like when the officials allow two teams to play when they get into the postseason, and that really does play into the hands of the Knicks because they want to be physical. They want to kind of beat you up if they can get away with it. So you go through these early stages of that final minute, and there's a couple of misses, a couple of fouls in there as well. Kyle Lowry tacks on a free throw, and now at this point, 45 seconds to go, it's the Sixers up by 5. The next possession for the Knicks takes what feels like forever. They're looking for something, anything. They're trying to make something happen. They use all of the shot clock on that next possession. And it's almost like Jalen Brunson throws up a wing and a prayer. But that sparks this wild sequence of events in the final 30 seconds of the game.
Loose ball picked up by DiVincenzo. Circling at the top of the arc. Into the corner. Brunson, pump fake. Three-pointer. Left side, front rim. Gets the roll! Three-pointer is good. It's a two-point game. Knicks down two with 27 seconds to go. Inbound is knocked away by Maxey. Gets the ball back. Falls to the floor. Stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again. Knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go! Timeout, Philadelphia!
Insane, right? Just absolutely insane at Madison Square Garden. That's another parallel between the Nuggets and the Knicks comebacks and the Canes as well, is that they all happen at home. And so the fans get to see this in person and, of course, make the kind of crazy noise in which you can't hear yourself think. And that's exactly what Dante DiVincenzo was talking about after the game. So the sequence, everything has to go perfectly for the Knicks. Now, I don't believe in luck. They were forcing the issue, and they did come up with the steal after. So Jalen Brunson's three-pointer that really kind of started the sequence, that was the one where you're like, what? But it's a Brunson bouncer off the rim. It goes high off the rim, probably a foot in the air, and then falls back through. And I thought it was a missed shot, another missed shot by Jalen, but the right spin, it goes back through the hoop. So that brings them within two. The inbounds play, Tyrese Maxey gets kind of swarmed there. He drops the ball. He loses it. Hart's able to pick it up. Now, I, for a moment there, thought there was going to be a foul call, but the whistle doesn't blow. And so they keep playing. DiVincenzo ends up with the ball at the top of the key. He misses a triple, only for the Knicks to come up with the offensive rebound. And this is what I'm talking about, creating their own opportunities, forcing a turnover, coming away with a steal, then getting an offensive rebound. And you know how I feel about offensive rebounds, only to set up Dante again. And for him, what, 2 seconds later, that's how quickly it happened. He misses the shot. There's an offensive board. He gets the ball in his hands again, and boom, nails it with 13 seconds to go, and the crowd goes wild. I mean, you want to talk about the stuff that dreams are made of when you're a kid shooting out in your driveway.
It was loud as hell in there. After I missed the first one, I was really, 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 really hoping that Isaiah got it, because I knew that, you know, the rotation of everything, I was going to get a second look. So thank God he got the offensive rebound.
JB did a great job denying that we were able to get the, you know, get that steal, kick it out, and Tay was able to hit that, that shot. So it was crazy. It was hectic. But at that point, we had nothing to lose. Got to be as physical as we can. And, it panned out.
Josh Hart there after Dante DiVincenzo. And yeah, talk about this sequence that leaves everybody in the building wondering, what the heck? I don't believe what I just saw. Or my favorite from the category of you can't make this stuff up. They're down 5 with 30 seconds to go. And because of the sequence of events, they go from being down 5 to being up 3. They score the final 8 points of the game. And it's a crazy comeback that's compact. It's a compact comeback, if you will. And it leaves the Sixers, it leaves them stunned. There are reports that Joel Embiid was so frustrated in the locker room that he was crying. I didn't see that, but there are, I've heard that there are photos out there. Jay, if you can find one, but there were reports that he was in tears in the locker room just out of frustration, not out of sadness or heartbreak. But man, he was on fire when he met the media afterwards. And it really kind of echoes the intensity of Nick Nurse, who says this never should have happened.
They score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. Referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
I can see both perspectives here. The official should be looking at the coach to see whether or not he wants a timeout. I mean, he should have, if not one glance, 2, 3, 4 chances or opportunities for Nick Nurse to give a timeout. So that's the responsibility of the officials, because Nick Nurse can't be running out on the court. That's against the rules. The Sixers will end up with a technical. So the official is supposed to be looking at him and checking to see whether or not he wants a timeout. Now, he could have communicated that to one of the guys on the floor. One of the guys on the floor could have called the timeout before the inbounds. So there's that option as well. And that's kind of on preparation and your team. Now, it was nuts, because that Jalen Brunson ball at the end of the shot clock doesn't look like it's going in. But still, you can say to your guys, you can gesture to your own guys on the court to call a timeout. And the other thing that I'll say is, if you watch this wild sequence and all the fans, the movement, the motion, the cheering, the screaming, the jumping up and down. I mean, there's so much happening behind Nick Nurse and around Nick Nurse on the bench, but just the fans around him too, because fans are courtside at MSG, that it can be kind of hard to see. And, it's still on the official to get it, but it's also on Nick Nurse. If he doesn't get it right away, somebody on the floor can call it. It's up to the guys on the floor too to know that that's what their coach wants. So I understand his frustration, but it doesn't change the fact that there was still a turnover and there was still an offensive rebound, and the Sixers do one of those things differently. They don't give up the turnover, or they don't give up the offensive rebound, and we could be talking about a completely different outcome. And as for Joel Embiid, he's certainly really frustrated. He, again, echoing his coach, but also I think the frustration is there because you realize you had it and the Knicks were able to snatch the victory from the jaws of defeat.
I hate to put the game on them, but I'm sure the 2-minute report is going to come out and, we're going to see, what happened. But Yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable. Yeah, that's not on them. That's not on any of us. We fought for 47 minutes and whatever, 20 seconds. And for that to happen, that's not okay.
47 minutes and 20 seconds. I mean, to me, that speaks volumes. Again, I see the responsibility of the official to look at Nick Nurse, and Nick said he did look over there and just didn't see him. But there's so much happening in the arena. Get his attention a different way. It's not on the official to give you a timeout if you don't call it. And if he doesn't see it, then get his attention some other way. Really, there's guys on the court that are standing right next to him. Get in his face. So I get the frustration, but I think it's more about the Sixers feeling like they made the adjustments. They had it. Like the Lakers, it was right there for the taking, is what LeBron says. And so, yeah, there's some wisdom there, but also both LeBron and Joel Embiid, they complain about the officials. Now, one more from Joel, and I hope, well, I'll assume, this has already made it into the Knicks locker room.
We're going to win this series. We're going to win.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Huh. Not only are we going to win this series, but we're the better team. All right. Maybe he didn't think about those words before he uttered them in this emotional kind of fallout from the game. Or maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he thinks that's the way to incite his team. And I'll tell you this, he put everything on the line. He was exhausted. That may be where the tears and the emotion come from, because he left it all out there on the court. That cliche. He was dealing with the knee pain, obviously fatigued, but just fought through it as best he could. Had 34 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Only a couple turnovers. I mean, he put everything he had into this. And so I can understand the frustration and the emotion of it all. But this is still on the Sixers. I mean, credit the Knicks. But how about don't turn the ball over and defend and make sure you get the rebound so that Dante DiVincenzo doesn't have two looks at the hoop in the span of 2 seconds.
We're going to win this series.
The Hurricanes also had a very dramatic comeback. It had the bang-bang element, the shock value, but it had the slow burn too, and there had to be a lot of dread for the Islanders. Which of these crazy comebacks was the most dramatic? How would you rank them? I'm going Knicks first, Canes second, Nuggets third. And producer Jay put together a montage, which you'll hear before the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Syracuse University, where I had a couple students in here, and I was able to kind of model. This is what you do after a big night in sports.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Jarvis with it. Svechnikov's out there. Great score! Sebastian Aho! And the roof's gone at PNC Arena. And there's still time left here. As Martinuk backs it in, he scores! Jordan Martinuk with the steal and the finish! And it's 4-3 Carolina! What a comeback!
I don't really know how to describe it. You get a whole, it's just like juice that hits you. And then, obviously I get in on the forecheck and luckily be able to pick them and make that play. I think the last probably 8 minutes of the second period, we were in their zone and just it felt like we were starting to take the game over. And then the third period, obviously you ride that momentum that you built in the second and just try and keep it going. I felt in the third, it was just wave after wave.
It's a tough loss, no doubt about it, because we had a chance to win that game. But at the same time, we got to regroup and be ready for the next game. I mean, we're going at home and we need to play well in our building and win game number 3, that's all.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, you're hearing those common themes, not only from the Hurricanes and Jordan Martinook, who was able to curl the puck around the post 9 seconds after Sebastian Aho he deflected a shot in. And those were 9 seconds apart to not just tie the game for the Canes against the Islanders, but then to put them ahead. And they had, including, and this is all empty net, right? Those two are with empty net. But it's funny, if you're watching on TV, they're still on the bottom. They've got the scroll of the Aho goal, and they're kind of taking you through that, and they're going through this face-off. And then seconds later, they're still talking about Aho, and Martinook is able to put them in front. And you hear there on Canes radio, well, there's still time on the clock. Oh, okay. Well, didn't need it all. I mean, it was that stunning. And yet, this was also a slow burn. So it had an element of the Nuggets comeback where it took a while and it played out. And Martinook indicates, hey, we really had momentum. We were controlling the game. We just could not get a puck to get in the back of the net. And so they kind of feel like they've taken over, they're dominating, and then just to get one late in the second period is huge, because finally there's a bit of relief that in that element. And it's true in hockey, right? Because you really can dominate a game and yet lose. It doesn't even require sudden death, though that's another way that it can happen. But it's just the nature of the game. And so they were working so hard, they were leaving everything they had out there on the ice, and it just took finally almost an entire period for it to come together. But then when it happened, it's like bang, bang, right in your face. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on Infinity Sports Network. Patrick Waugh after that. And yeah, it's a punch to the gut. I mean, that's how it had to feel for the Lakers, for the Sixers, and for the Isles. And as much as you can point to their mistakes and say, well, hey, like you don't want to feel that, then don't lose the way you did. And that's true. But it's just the contrast, the stark contrast when you have crazy comebacks like these. So we did have a montage, actually, of all of them together, which we'll get to before the top of the hour. But Jay and I are texting back and forth because I'm at Syracuse and he is back home. And we're a flurry of texts over all this crazy activity. How would you rank these crazy comebacks?
I'd probably have to put that. I think I'd do it exactly the way that you ranked them. I'd go Knicks number one, Canes two, and then Nuggets three, probably, because the Knicks one was just so fast and so startling, where it was like, oh, you kind of accepted that the Sixers had won the game. They just had to inbound the ball, which you see how many times in a game. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait, whoa. And then they won. I feel like I haven't seen a moment like that in a basketball game in, I don't know about ever. So that was insane to me. And the Canes won. They were dominating a lot of the game, and they finally were able to break through. So I'll put that second. Murray was just awesome. But the Knicks one was, I hadn't seen anything like that. Got to be number one.
Yeah, the Knicks was pretty insane. It's only happened a handful of times in the past 25 years. So there is that, or I guess almost 30 years. The NBA stats will tell you that the fact that they had the last 8 points, that it happened in such a tight space there at the end of the game was huge. The Nuggets, because of the buzzer beater, that's classic. And then the Canes, just 5 unanswered goals. And producer Jay put together a montage for your ears and your listening pleasure.
Jarvis with it. Svechnikov saves it. They score! Sebastian Aho! And the roof's gone at PNC Arena. And there's still time left here. As Martinook backs it in. He scores! Jordan Martinook with the steal and the finish. And it's 4-3 Carolina. What a comeback!
27 seconds to go. Inbound is knocked away by Maxey. Gets the ball back, falls to the floor, stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again, knocks it down! Knicks lead, 13 seconds to go!
He's at the midcourt circle, 4 seconds, 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray, got it to Hart! Denver mounts the comeback! They come back from 20 points down! They win game number 2! 101 to 99 is the final! And the Lakers can take that L on the way out!
Oh, what a night from the Nuggets and the Knicks and the Canes radio networks. It was some kind of crazy, but my kind of crazy, and actually one of my themes in life, not just in sports or radio for sure, is find people in life who are your kind of crazy. Well, if you share my joy over the delicious nature, the dramatic nature of last night, then you are my kind of crazy. That was fun. The script that writes itself. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I'll be headed home from Syracuse soon. Back with you in studio for The Hump Show. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Control Room 3 here on the Infinity Sports Network and beyond. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.